إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue in the lecture series dealing with the explanation or the sharh of the brief essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, entitled Nawaqid al-Islam. In this, the eighth lecture, we want to take the seventh of those Nawaqid or the nullifiers of Islam, which Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has mentioned in this brief essay. And the seventh naqid or nullifier that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned, it is as-sihr, that is magic, or soothsaying, witchcraft, sorcery, whatever of those descriptions may be included in this comprehensive word. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he began, rahimahullah, by saying, السابع, يعني الناقد السابع من نواقد الإسلام السحر ومنه الصرف والعطف فمن فعله أو رضي به كفر. والدليل قول الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر. The seventh naqid of the nawaqid of Islam, it is a sihr, magic or sorcery or witchcraft. And here Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, after mentioning as-sihr, and as-sihr is a comprehensive word which includes many different types of actions which might not have any single common factor. However, according to the linguistic meaning of as-sihr and the technical shar'i meaning, many different types of actions can be included under it. Here Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he says, وَمِنْهُ يعني of the various types of as-sihr, he says, is as-sarf and al-ataf. As-sarf, it means causing alienation or causing a person to turn away from that which they love or desire or are inclined towards. And al-ataf, it means causing affection or attachment or attraction. يعني causing the person to be transformed from the condition of hating something to loving it, to be attracted to it, and to be inclined towards it. He said, فَمَنْ فَعْلَهُ أَوْ رَضِيَ بِهِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Whoever did it, yani whoever did any action of sihr, of its various types, or whoever is pleased with it, even if they didn't do it, but they are pleased with it being done. Whoever engages in it or commits it And whoever is pleased with it, then that person has fallen into disbelief. They have committed an act of kufr. And the evidence of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ. That indeed, these two angels, the two angels, Harut and Marut, neither of them taught anyone such things, yani as magic or whatever was revealed to them in Babylon. Neither of them taught any of these such things until they had warned the people by saying clearly, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ, that indeed we have been sent down as a fitna, as a test, as a trial for the people. We indeed have been sent as a fitna. فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. So don't, yani, don't engage in kufr, don't fall into kufr by learning this magic from us. Yani what they were sent for was a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited sihr. And then He tested the people to see who will obey Him and refrain from that which He has prohibited. And this ayah is part of a long ayah which discusses many of the most important aspects of al-sihr in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 102. The definition of al-sihr, first linguistically, al-sihr, magic or sorcery or witchcraft, linguistically is applied to anything whose origin or source or reason or cause is hidden, subtle or imperceptible. يعني the scholars said السحر يطلق في اللغة على ما خفي ولطف سببه ودقة. يعني whatever is so subtle or hidden or imperceptible that you cannot determine its origin or its source or its cause, this is the linguistic meaning of السحر. And everything that is applied to is considered linguistically السحر. Upon this is based the saying of the Arabs concerning something that is extremely imperceptible. They said, it is akhfa min as-sihr, yani it is more subtle than magic. It has also been defined linguistically by other scholars as everything whose cause is not seen. And some of them said, this may include at-tanjim, astrology, and al-kahana, soothsaying. In fact, it also includes al-bayan wal-fasaha, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the authentic hadith, inna min al-bayani la-sihran, that indeed some types of al-bayan, eloquent speech, are definitely sihr or magic. Al-bayan wal-fasaha, it means purity of language and eloquent expression. And some types of bayan, some types of eloquent speech are definitely a sihr. Some of the scholars said that eloquent speech or bayan, it has been included as a type of sihr because of its great effect in moving the listener and the quickness with which the heart responds to it, to the speech of some people. Al-bayan, this type of sihr, al-bayan, eloquent speech, it is of two types. So, blameworthy and praiseworthy. The blameworthy is that which is used to present the truth as falsehood and falsehood as truth. It can be used to influence the hearts of the ignorant until they accept falsehood and reject truth. This is the type which is intended in this hadith, إِنَّ مِنَ الْبَيَانِ لَسِحْرَ, that indeed some types of eloquent speech is magic. The praiseworthy type of al-bayan is when it is used to clarify and affirm the truth while refuting falsehood and removing its unclarity. As for the technical or mustalah definition of as-sihr, yani in the religious legal terminology, the scholars, they said, some of them said that it is azaim wa ruqa wa uqad, تؤثر في القلوب والعقول والأبدان. That it is azaim, spells or charms, or ruqa, incantations, recitations, and uqad, the tying of knots into which the people blow. The people who perform this type of magic, they blow into those knots. And this affects the heart, the mind, and the body. It takes control over the mind. It prompts love and hatred. And hence, division is caused through it between the husband and wife. It induces sickness in the body and deprives one of his thoughts. It has also been defined as عقد ورقى يتوصل بها الساهر إلى استخدام الشياطين لتضر المسهور. That it is the tying of knots or the recitations or incantations which are the ways and means through which the magician or the sahir or the sorcerer employs the help of the shayateen, the devils, in causing harm to the one upon whom it is practiced. Al-Allama Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti Rahimahullah, the great scholar of tafsir of our era, he said, know that it is not possible to define a sihr with an exact and all-inclusive definition. Yani a definition that is jami'un, mani'un, that includes everything that comes under this title and that keeps out everything that is not a part of it. There's no definition like this that is exact for sihr due to the many different types of practices which are included in it. It is not possible to find a common factor linking them all to one another and eliminating everything that is not considered a part of it. It is for this reason that the expressions of the scholars differ so greatly in defining it. Yani the definitions of the scholar of the various scholars are very, very different, because some of them have defined some types of sihr and others have defined other types of sihr. As Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says in this naqid or this nullify, he says as-sihr, and it also includes as-sarf wal-'atf. As-sarf is turning a person away from what he desires or what he is inclined towards or that which he loves. For example, the turning of a man away from the love of his wife and causing him to hate her. Al-'atf, it is also an act of magic, as is as-sarf, except that it transforms or changes the person concerning what he does not desire, that which he is not inclined towards, to the love of that thing by the use of satanic means. Also included under the title of as-sihr, magic or sorcery or witchcraft, is ilm al-nujum, al-tanjim, astrology, through which the astrologers claim to have knowledge of events which have not yet taken place, and particularly that which is to take place in the lives of individuals in the future, those things which are known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They claim to know such things from the movements of the heavenly bodies, and that the movements and interactions of the planets have some effect on the things which take place in our lives on earth. It is reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said concerning at-tanjim or astrology, he said, من اقتبس علما من النجوم اقتبس شعبة من السحر زاد ما زاد. That if anyone acquires any knowledge of astrology, he acquires a branch of as-sihr, of magic, of which he gets more as long as he continues to do so. That is, as long as he continues to seek that knowledge of astrology, then he gets more of the sihr that Allah has prohibited. This hadith is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, as well as the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, declared this hadith to be hasan in the Sahih of the Sunan of Abu Dawud. As for the knowledge of astronomy through which the direction of the Qibla, yani the direction for prayer, towards Mecca can be determined. Astronomy, through which one knows the directions when traveling by land or sea. This knowledge is true and it is permissible in Islam. Astronomy is to be distinguished from astrology. Astronomy is allowed while astrology, it is prohibited, it is haram. As-sihr, in all of its types, is forbidden in Islam, and as well, it has been forbidden in the laws of all the previous prophets and messengers. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, that if someone came to them, يعني concerning the ayat in the Quran that the Imam has mentioned in the introduction from Surah Al-Baqarah, he said concerning those two angels, Harut and Marut, if someone came to them desiring a sihr, يعني desiring, requesting to learn a sihr, they would forbid him in the severest manner, saying to him, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, that we are only sent for a trial or a test, so disbelieve not. Don't enter into kufr by learning this magic from us. And this was due to the fact that they had knowledge of al-khayr and al-shar, and al-kufr and al-iman. They knew the difference between the good and the evil, and the difference between disbelief and faith. Consequently, they knew that al-sihr was a type of al-kufr. This is the statement of Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir under the tafsir of this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 102. There are a number of issues related to al-sihr which need to be mentioned, and each one followed by some of the sayings of the scholars due to the importance of this matter and it being so widespread in almost every part of the earth. I mean amongst the Muslims, forget about that which is amongst the kuffar, but amongst the Muslims, al-sihr is widespread in most of the Muslim lands. In fact, one of the scholars, one of the contemporary scholars of the people of Sunnah in al-Yemen, he was giving a lecture about al-sihr, and he said that today, al-sihr is so widespread in Yemen that every village, not every city, but every small village has at least one or two or three magicians in every single village. And this is amongst the Muslims, not to mention what we find amongst the kuffar. The first issue that we want to discuss, is al-sihr something real? Is al-sihr something real? Or is it just imagination, hallucination, deception? The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and from the evil of the نَفَّاثَات, yani those who blow into the ropes that they tie knots in, when they blow in those knots, from the evil of the sihr that is effected through their tying knots in the ropes and then blowing into them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, that we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of Al-Falaq. And one of the things that he mentioned to seek refuge from, it is from the blowing into the knot. That is one of the means of al-sihr. If al-sihr were not a reality, if it was not something real that actually affects the human being, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had no need to order the believers to seek refuge in him from that which is not real. Likewise, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 102, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا, يعني they learn from those two angels, مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَالزَّوْجِهِ. And from these two angels, Harut and Marut, people learn that by which they cause separation between a man and his wife. This verse points to the fact that a sihr is a reality which can be a cause of the separation between a man and his wife. Likewise, that which shows the reality of a sihr is that which has been reported in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari. in the hadith in which Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, "Suhira an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hatta kana yukhayyalu ilayhi annahu yaf'al ash-shay'a wa ma yaf'aluhu." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had magic performed on him to the extent that he began to imagine that he was doing a thing that he was not actually doing. As-sihr, it was performed on the Prophet of Allah by the permission of Allah. Because as-sihr, the truth of the matter is that it can't harm anyone except that Allah allows it for some wisdom. It is by the permission of Allah. Otherwise, there's no harm and there's no benefit except from Allah. No one can harm unless Allah allows it. And no one can benefit unless Allah allows it. But it is reported authentically from Aisha radiallahu anha in the Sahih al-Bukhari that as-sihr was worked on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the extent that he used to imagine that he has done something which he has not done. She said that one day he invoked Allah, da'a wa da'a, and he called on Allah and called on him until, for such a long time, until he said, "I feel that Allah has inspired me as how to cure myself, the way to cure myself." He said, two people came to me. أتاني رجلان فقعد أحدهما عند رأسي والآخر عند رجلي. يعني two persons came to me, meaning in a dream, and sat, one by my head and the other by my feet. One of them said to the other, يعني one of them said to the other, ما وجع الرجل, يعني what is the problem, what is the ailment, what is the sickness of the man. فقال, the other one said, مطبوب, يعني that he has been bewitched, يعني sihr has been worked on him. The first one asked him, who has placed this sihr on him? And the other one said, Labid ibn al-Asam. The first one asked, what materials was used? And the other one replied, a comb. And the hair gathered on it, the comb and the hair that was collected on it from combing someone's hair, and the outer skin of the pollen of the male date palm. In the end of that hadith, after Aisha radiallahu anha heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she asked him, did you take out those things with which the magic was worked? And it was placed in a well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed where it was. And she asked him, did you take it out? And in order to break the magic spell. And he said, لا, أما أنا فقد شفاني الله. He said, indeed, I have not taken it out, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has cured me. The position that as-sihr is actually something real, it is the position of the Ahl Sunnah. And it is followed by the majority of the Muslim scholars. Indeed, if it was not real, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't have been affected by it. And if it were not real, he wouldn't have said that Allah has cured him from something that is not real. It is just imagination or hallucination. However, even though the majority of the scholars agree that it is real, haqiqi, however, some of the scholars held the opinion that as-sihr is not something real. And this is the opinion of the Mu'tazila, those who have gone away from, withdrawn from, and abandoned the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And they used as evidence for their opinion the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the story of Musa alayhi salam, where he said, بَلْ أَلْقُوا, يعني he told the magicians, you throw what you have, your ropes or your sticks. فَإِذَا حِبَالُهُمْ وَعِصِيُّهُمْ يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسَعَى. Moses said to them, you throw first, then behold their ropes and their sticks, due to the magic that they have done on it. Due to the magic which they have done on it, appeared to him as though they were moving quickly. Yani the ropes and the sticks were given the appearance as though they were moving quickly due to the magic. Their argument, the argument of the Mu'tazila, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that their ropes and sticks moved in reality, but they only appeared to him. They appeared, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. It was made to appear as though they were moving, when in fact they were not really moving. They say that a sihr then is only tamweeh, something that is faked or feigned, make-believe, or takhyil, imaginary, or hallucination, or ilham, deception, or delusion, which gives the appearance of the existence of something which in fact has no reality. Al-Allama ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, says in his book, Bida'i al-Fawaid, their position, meaning the position of the Mu'tazila, is in contradiction to what has been narrated, mutawatira, through innumerous chains of narrators, from the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, radiallahu anhum, and the Salaf, the early generations of the Muslim Ummah. They are in contradiction to that which is agreed upon by the scholars of fiqh, the fuqaha, and the scholars of tafsir and hadith, and even the leaders of the Sufis, and that which is well known to the generality of the intelligent and sane people. All of the people agree that sihr is real. As-sihr, that sihr which causes sickness and heaviness and ease and releasing and tying and love and hatred and falsification, as well as other effects which it causes, truly exists and is well known even to the common people. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, the great scholar of tafsir, after mentioning the opinion of the Mu'tazila and their arguments, he says, there's no proof in this, yani this ayah, there's no proof in this for their opinion. Since we do not deny that at-takhyil, delusion and hallucination, and other such things come under the classification of at-sihr. However, there are still other aspects of at-sihr besides this takhyil or delusion, which are also established as a reality, acceptable rationally, and reported in the text of Quran and Sunnah. From the other aspects of at-sihr is what has been mentioned about it, and the teaching of it in this verse, that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانَ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ حَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. That Sulaiman alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, he did not disbelieve, he did not engage in kufr, he did not practice sihr. However, it was the shayateen, the devil, who disbelieved, teaching men magic and such things that came down at Babylon to the two angels. It was the shayateen who were teaching the people magic and that which has been sent down to the two angels, Harut and Marut, in Babylon. But neither of these two angels taught anyone such things until they had said to them, yani warning them, we are only a fitna, we are only a trial or a test, so disbelieve not by learning magic from us. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, continues saying, so if a sihr was not something real, it would not have been possible to teach it, nor would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have warned us that they used to teach it to the people, or He would not have informed us about their teaching it to the people. Hence, this is an indication of the reality of a sihr. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the story of Fir'aun, yani in reference to the magicians of Fir'aun and Musa. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 116. قَالَ أَلْقُوا يعني Musa said to them, throw, you be the first to throw your stones, your sticks and your ropes. فَلَمَّا أَلْقُوا صَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَرْحَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. So when they threw their ropes and their sticks, they bewitched the eyes of the people. Yani they caused the sihr to affect the eyes of the people, and they struck terror in them. And indeed, they made a display of a great magic. A great display of magic. Also, Surah Al-Falaq, the 113th chapter of the Quran, about which the scholars of Tafsir are in agreement that the reason for its revelation was the working of sihr on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Labid ibn al-Asam. Here Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, as he continues, he mentions the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which we have already mentioned, the hadith in which it is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the two men came to him, the two angels, one of them sitting at his head and the other at his feet, and they are discussing to one another his condition and mentioning that magic had been performed on him. And in that hadith it is reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Amma ana qad shafani Allah," that indeed Allah has cured me. At the time when the sihr was removed from him, he said, indeed, it is Allah who has cured me. And ash-shifa, curing, means the removal of the cause of the sickness and the termination of the illness itself. The illness should be removed and the cause should be removed if someone is indeed cured. Hence, this also points to the fact that a sihr, it is true and it is real. And the Prophet ﷺ was affected by it and Allah cured him from it. It is something of absolute certainty. Based on the information, yani Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi closes with these words, that as-sihr, it is huwa maqtu'un bihi, something that is absolutely certain. And it is based on information from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning its existence and occurrence. And this is the position of the responsible leaders and the scholars upon whose opinion al-ijma is established. After their agreement, the agreement of the scholars of the Muslim Ummah, no consideration is to be given to the filth or the residue of the thinking or the ideas or the opinions of the Mu'tazila and their being in contradiction to the people of Haqq, to the people of truth. This statement is taken from Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi in his tafsir of the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 102. Indeed, as-sihr magic is something real and it has an effect on the one whom it is worked upon. However, it cannot cause any harm except to the one whom Allah has allowed it to cause harm to. Yani, no harm can be caused to anyone, nor any benefit can be achieved by anyone except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this very ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 102, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that indeed they could not harm anyone except by the permission of Allah. Not only that, but a sihr, magic, does not bring the one who practices it any benefit, nor is it the cause of any good for him. On the contrary, it only causes for him harm and sure loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this very ayat, وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ, that they only learn that which harms them and profits them not. Yani, there is no benefit from it. There is only harm from it. And these are two of the realities of a sihr. That a sihr, it is true and it can affect. However, it cannot affect anyone except bi-idhnillah, except by the permission of Allah. And indeed, the one who uses it or engages in it, who learns it or who teaches it, or who is pleased with it being practiced on someone, indeed gets no benefit whatsoever, but it is only a cause of harm. The second issue, it is the ruling concerning the sahir, the magician or the sorcerer. What is the ruling, the hukum shara'i, in the deen of Allah concerning the one who practices a sihr? The scholars, rahimahumullah, have differed in their ruling concerning whether or not a sahir, the magician or the sorcerer, becomes a kafir due to his engaging in this act. It appears from the words of the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, according to that which he has mentioned in the text of this essay, The Nawaqid of Islam, that the magician, the sahir, goes out of Islam by engaging in magic. And his position is based upon the saying of Allah that he mentioned in the beginning, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّنَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرُ. That neither of these two angels taught anyone such things until they had said to them that we are only a trial and a test, so do not fall into disbelief or kufr by learning this sihr. This is the opinion of the Imams, Al-Imam Ahmed and Al-Imam Malik and Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah, as well as the majority or the jumhur of the scholars of the Muslim Ummah. Their opinion is that indeed the ruling concerning the sahir is that he has fallen into kufr, that sihr, it is a nullifier of one's Islam. However, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, held the opinion that if someone learns a sihr, he should not be declared to be a kafir, but it should be said to him, describe for us your sihr. Then if he describes that which of necessity would constitute al-kufr, like the sihr of the people of Babylon, such as those who practiced it, seeking means of nearness to the stars or the planets, to get some benefit from them, or those who believe that these heavenly bodies actually do whatever is asked of them, then such a one is a kafir, disbeliever. And even if he does not reach the point of al-kufr in his action, even if he doesn't engage in that action, which is an actual act of kufr, however, if he considers that engaging in a sihr is permissible, he is still a kafir due to his considering something which is forbidden as being lawful. This is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Otherwise, he said, it is not considered, or he, such a person, is not considered as a kafir. That is, if his actions do not reach the point of actually engaging in an act of sihr, that is kufr, nor does he consider, and he does not consider his engaging in such as lawful. Yani, he commits an act of sihr which might not have reached the level of kufr, and he doesn't consider that engaging in sihr of any type is lawful. In that case, he said, the person should not be considered as a kafir. A Sheikh Hafiz Hakami, one of the great scholars of our time, he said that everyone who learns a sihr, teaches it, or practices it, is considered to be a disbeliever. Just like the disbelief of the devils who taught it to the people, since there is no difference between him and them. Moreover, he is the student of the shaitan, and one of his graduates from him, that is from the shaitan, such a person narrates, and through him, through the shaitan, he has reached the level which he is upon, and he also follows him. That is the shaitan in whatever he does. Yani al-Hafiz, Hafiz al-Hakami, he said that whoever learns it, whoever teaches it, whoever practices it, all of them, they are considered as a kafir. Al-Allama al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, said the fact of the matter. And his opinion is expressed in another way, the opinion of al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He said the fact of the matter in this issue, and he mentioned this in his tafsir of the Qur'an concerning the ayats of sihr. He said that this issue requires some tafsil, explanation. It is not blanket or absolute. Number one, he said, if the type of a sihr is that in which something other than Allah is exalted or magnified, like the planetary bodies or the jinn or other such things, which lead to al-kufr, then the one who engages in it is a kafir without any contention. There's no difference of opinion about it. Yani whoever engages in a type of sihr in which there's ta'zim or exaltation or magnification of the planet or the jinn or any other creature, then this is kufr without a doubt. In this class is the sihr of Harut and Marut, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. This type of kufr or this type of sihr, without a doubt, this is a type of kufr, without a doubt, as indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر. That Sulaiman عليه السلام did not disbelieve, but the shayateen disbelieved teaching men magic. It was kufr to teach men magic. And likewise in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَان مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولُ إِنَّنَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. But neither of these angels taught anyone such things until they said, we are only sent for a trial. So disbelieve not by learning this sihr from us. And likewise the saying of Allah, لَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. That indeed they know that the buyers, those who engage in the purchase of magic, who engage in magic, would have no share, would have no part in the hereafter. Yani they would not enter the paradise. They would not receive anything of the reward of Allah. And all of these statements are taken from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 102, and that ayat concerning al-sihr. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Taha, chapter 20, verse 69, وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاهِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. That indeed the magician or the sorcerer or the soothsayer or whatever, whoever practices sihr, will never be successful, no matter what amount of skill he may attain, no matter whatever level he reaches. He will never be successful. Because whatever he achieves through his sihr, it will not be of benefit to him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no benefit in it. There is only harm. There is no benefit in it. So he will never be successful. And he will never enter the paradise. But he will be of the losers, the people Allah will punish in the next life. The second type of sihr, or the second case or class, Al-Imam Al-Shanqiti says in his tafsir, is the case where the type of sihr engaged in does not reach the level which necessitates or that which constitutes kufr, such as seeking help through the use of the essences or peculiar qualities of certain ointments or oils. Then, in that case, such a type of sihr, it is haram, forbidden, in the most severest degree. However, it does not cause the one who engages in it to be considered as a kafir or a disbeliever. Yani those who use some essences or certain type of ointments or oils that have peculiar qualities that can affect the human being to cause harm to them, whoever engages in such, it is also a type of sihr. However, Al-Imam Al-Shanqiti, in agreement with the position of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahumallah, hold that this type of sihr has not reached the level of kufr, and therefore the person should not be declared to have fallen out of Islam. In any case, even if the type of sihr engaged in does not reach the point of constituting al-kufr, it must be at least be considered as a kabira, because it is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentically in the Sahih of al-Bukhari from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. In that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات, يعني avoid or stay away from the seven great destructive matters, the sins that destroy. قالوا يا رسول الله وما هن. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what are those seven destructive sins? He said, الشرك بالله والسحر. يعني the one who engages in shirk, associating something with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which is from His exclusive right. And the second of them, he said, is as-sihr. And after that, he said, killing the soul which Allah, or the person whom Allah has prohibited. Except Kalani, he has mentioned in the sharh that this narration is reported in some of the copies of the Sahih of al-Bukhari, that which has been narrated by al-Musaddad and that which has been narrated by Abu Ya'la. In their narrations of the Sahih of al-Bukhari, it is reported, this report is given, that of killing every magician, every sahir. The third evidence that they mention is the report of Hafsa, radiallahu anha, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, that she ordered the killing of a slave girl of hers, who had worked sihr on her. And this, it is mentioned in Zad al-Ma'ad, Al-Allama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that this hadith or this athar, this report from Hafsa radiallahu anha, that it is authentic, even though it changed our narrators as it is reported in the Muwatta of Imam Malik is broken munqatiya. In that case, likewise, the practice of Hafsa bint Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhuma also, it is confirming the position of the first opinion, the opinion of Imam Malik and Imam Ahmed, that the magician should be killed. This opinion that every sahir is to be killed is the correct opinion, inshaAllah. Even if the only narrations which are confirmed are those of Umar, the statement of Umar, the order of Umar, and the statement of Jundub, radiallahu anhum, especially since it is not known that any one of the Sahaba, the companions, has opposed their position. Additionally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي Abu Bakr wa Umar. Follow the example of the two who will come after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. And this is reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and it was declared to be sahih by Shaykh al-Albani in As-Sahiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرَ وَقَلْبِهِ, that Allah has made the truth to be upon the tongue and the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. And this is reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and this hadith is also sahih, declared sahih by Shaykh al-Albani in Jami al-Saghir. These two hadith are authentic. So we are taking Umar radiallahu anhu as our example, following in his footsteps. And this is the correct opinion, inshaAllah, and Allah knows best. As for those who said that the sahir should not be killed as long as his sihr did not reach the point of al-kufr, they have taken as evidence for their position the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reported in the Sahihain, the Sahih of al-Bukhari and Muslim, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بإحدى ثلاثة الثيب الزاني النفس بالنفس والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعة, يعني that the blood of a Muslim may not be legally spilt, يعني a Muslim should not be killed other than in one of three instances: the married person who commits adultery, a life for a life, and the one who forsakes his deen and abandons the community. They have taken their position based on this hadith. However, as we know, that these are not the only situations or cases in which a Muslim may be killed. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned these three on this occasion, and indeed there are other occasions in which a person can be legitimately killed according to the Sharia. As for the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did not kill Labid ibn al-Asim, it was for fear that it would cause fitna, that it would cause confusion and disturbance. Or, as some of the scholars said, due to the fact that Labid was a zimmi, a disbeliever, under the protection of the Muslim state. Al-Allama ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, concerning this matter says, it has been authentically reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not kill the Jew, yani Labid. He did not kill the Jew who worked a sihr on him. Al-Shafi'i, al-Imam al-Shafi'i and al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahumullah, both of them based their opinion on this fact, that the Prophet ﷺ did not kill the Jew who performed sihr on him. As for Imam Malik and Imam Ahmed, rahimahumullah, they took the position that the sahir should be killed. However, what is reported textually from Ahmed, rahimahullah, is that the sahir from the Ahlul Zimma, the disbelievers under the protection of the Muslim state, should not be killed. And he used as evidence for his position that the zimmi should not be killed. He used as evidence for this the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did not kill the Jew, Labid ibn al-Asim, when he had performed a sihr on the Prophet ﷺ. Those who say that the sahir, magician, must be killed, responded to this by saying that Labid did not confess to this act, nor was any proof presented against him. Additionally, they said that the Prophet ﷺ was concerned that he might bring upon the people some evil or harm, and some fitna may be caused from killing him, and consequently, he not only didn't kill him, but he didn't even remove the sihr, or those things which were used to bewitch him. He did not even remove them from the well where they were buried, yani for fear of fitna being caused. So indeed, how much more so would he have been concerned about the killing of the one who had performed that sihr? The fourth issue and the last, and that which we will close with, it is the undoing of the charm or the spell or the sihr from the one who has been, who it has been performed upon, the mashur. This undoing of the sihr is called a nushra. Al-Allama ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said, undoing the sihr from the one who is bewitched is of two types. Yani removing the sihr from someone, it is of two types. One is permissible and the other is not. The first of them, he said, it is undoing it through the use of some sihr of like kind. Yani a similar type of sihr, prohibited sihr. This is the type that is from the work of shaitan. And this is the meaning of the saying of Al-Hasan, لا يحل السهر إلا الساهر. That no one will undo the sihr except another magician. Yani that no one will undo it except that that one also is doing prohibited yani sihr. The one who undoes the sihr and the one to whom the sihr was worked upon, both of them seek to get near to shaitan through the performance of something which he loves, some acts which are pleasing to shaitan, due to which he undoes his work. He removes the spell or the charm from that one who the magic has been performed upon. Therefore, this type of sihr, in which something unlawful and illegal that is contrary to Islam is used, this is prohibited. Undoing sihr through like sihr, it is prohibited. It is haram. The second type, he said, undoing the sihr through the use of permissible forms of al-ruqa or ruqya, yani recitation of the Quran or the words that came in the hadith of the Prophet or the names or the sifat of Allah, the use of such words or ta'awwudhat, yani such as the recitation of Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas and al-adwiya, using medications, or al-da'awat, supplications to Allah, all of these are permissible as long as they don't contain any prohibited yani act. As for that which is reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, in mu'allaq form, yani with an incomplete chain of narrators, on the authority of Qatada, who said, I said to Ibn Musayyib, yani Sa'id ibn Musayyib, the Imam of the Tabi'een, he said, what about the case of a man who has been bewitched, whom sihr has been performed on, or who has been taken away from his wife through the use of some type of sihr? Can this spell or charm be removed from him? Ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, said, there's no harm in doing such. لا بأس به. There's no harm in removing that spell from him. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُونَ بِهِ الْإِصْلَاحِ. That indeed they only want. They are only doing this, the people who are doing this, who are removing it, they only intend by it the doing of good. They only intend by it إِصْلَاح, rectification of the wrong done to him. فَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعَ فَلَا يَنْهَى عَنْهُ. Therefore, whatever is beneficial, it is not prohibited. This statement of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, should be understood to refer to the type of an-nushra, undoing of the sihr, which does not contain any act or speech which is forbidden in the Sharia. And this is in light of the fact that the hadith has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he was asked about an-nushra, the undoing of a sihr, he said, huwa min amal ash-shaytan. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the removing of a sihr, he said, it is from the work of a shaytan. And this has been reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, who reported it from Imam Ahmed, and its chain of narrators is sahih, as it has been declared by Shaykh al-Albani in the Sahih of Sunan Abu Dawood and al-Mishkat, and in other books he said that the isnad is sahih. The meaning here then is that removing the sihr by unlawful means, that is from the work of shaitan. However, if it is removed by recitation of Quran or by the supplications that have been mentioned in the authentic hadith, or any means that doesn't contain any unlawful action or speech, then that is what is permissible and Allah knows best. This is the end of what we can present tonight concerning this topic. Now quickly, we should look at the questions on the handout and then we'll take any questions or comments or corrections from the brothers as well as from the sisters. The first question discussed briefly the seventh naqid or nullifier of Islam. The seventh naqid of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, it is a sihr, magic. And he said that it also includes a sarf and al-atif, that is, causing alienation or causing attachment. Whoever does it, or whoever is pleased with it, then that person has engaged in kufr. Yani, whoever engages in it, as well as whoever is pleased with it, that is an act of kufr. What is the dalil which the author has given for this naqid? Yani the evidence that he has mentioned is from Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 102, that indeed Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but it was the shayateen who disbelieved. That is one of the statements of the ayat, the portion of the ayat which he has mentioned, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ, that they didn't use to teach anyone these things such as sihr until they warned them, saying that we are only a trial, therefore do not engage in kufr. Define a sihr linguistically and technically. Linguistically it means whatever is hidden or unperceptible, and its cause or its origin cannot be easily detectable, such that it has some hidden effect that the people cannot detect or they cannot see. This is the linguistic meaning of a sihr, while the technical meaning, as some of the scholars said, it is azaim, spells or charms, and ruqa, incantations or recitations, and uqad, tying of knots and blowing in them, that affect the hearts and the minds and the bodies. What does the author mean by the expressions as-sarf and al-asaf? He means, as-sarf, it means turning a person away from that which they love, or that which they are inclined towards, or that which they desire. Like turning a man away from the love of his wife and causing him to hate her. And al-asaf is the opposite of it. It is causing a person to change his condition, yani from being disinclined from something and then turning towards it through some shaitanic means, causing a person to be inclined towards that which he dislikes or does not desire. Mention some of the other types of sihr. Of the other types of sihr are at-tanjim, astrology, al-kahana, soothsaying, al-bayan, eloquent speech, yani if it is used to turn the people away from the truth, to reject the truth and to follow falsehood, etc. Mention the two opinions concerning the issue of whether a sihr is a reality. Yani the first opinion is the saying of the people of Sunnah, and this is the madhab of the jamhur of the scholars of the Muslims, that a sihr, it is a reality. The second opinion, this is the opinion of the Mu'tazila, those who have deviated from both the Qur'an and the Sunnah, that there is no reality to a sihr. It is just something make-believe, something that is a type of hallucination or deception, and that it has no reality whatsoever. As for the opinion or the dalil for the dalil or the evidence for these two opinions, the dalil for the first opinion that it is a reality, we have mentioned a number of evidences, and from amongst them is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers to seek refuge in Him from min sharri an-naffathati fil 'uqad, yani from those who blow into knots, who use this way as a means of causing magic or harm to the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have ordered the people to seek refuge from that which has no reality. And likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَالزَّوْجِ, that indeed it is what they are learning from these two, it was that which caused a man to be separated from his wife. This is a proof that a sihr, it is a real thing, and it has a real effect on the human beings, including the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that a sihr was performed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and indeed it affected him, and he said that it was Allah who cured him from it. The next question mentioned the hukum, or the ruling concerning the sahir, the magician, and the ikhtilaf concerning it. Yani, the ruling concerning the sahir, the first opinion is the opinion of the majority, the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa and Malik and Ahmed, and the majority of the scholars is that the magician is a kafir, that whoever engages in sihr falls into kufr, goes out of Islam, and this is also the opinion that has clearly been stated by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab in the title of this naqid. The second opinion is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, and it is his opinion that if a person learns sihr, they should be asked to describe their sihr. And if we find that their sihr is that which necessitates kufr, yani that causes the person to fall into kufr, in that case, the person would be declared as a kafir. Or, even if the act that they perform is not kufr, however, they believe that it is lawful to engage in that sihr, then that person is also a kafir for declaring lawful that which Allah has prohibited. Otherwise, if they do not fall into one of these situations, then they should not be declared to be a kafir. The question number 9 discussed the ikhtilaf of the scholars concerning the execution or the killing, the qatl of the magician. The first opinion is the opinion of the majority, that the magician should be killed. And this is the saying of Al-Imam Malik and Al-Imam Ahmed. And their proof is the statement of Jundub radiallahu anhu, that the punishment, prescribed punishment for the magician is cutting his neck or executing him, as well as the statement of Dajjala concerning the letter that came from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, ordering them to kill every sahir. The second opinion is that the sahir should not be killed unless the type of sihr that he engages in reaches the level of kufr, and that is the opinion of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. The last question, what is the summary of the statement of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah concerning al-nushra, that is removing the magic from the one who has been affected by it? And it is his opinion that removing the sihr or nushra is of two types. The first type is that which involves something engaging in some action that is pleasing to shaitan, that which is prohibited by the sharia, and that is the type of a sihr that is, or the removing of sihr, that means is prohibited. The second type is that which does not involve any prohibited statement or prohibited action, such as the ruqya, recitation of Quran, and other such means which are permissible. Removing sihr through this means is permissible. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, after the adhan, if there are any questions or comments or corrections, we'll take them.